except ice cream, everything else is good. But okay. The fact that we do CAM meeting is good or bad? It's absolutely good. But listen carefully. All that we do, all, including our doctrines that are from the Bible, all that we do, if they don't have God's presence, if we do these things, but God is not in it, if we keep Sabbath, but God's presence is not there, I don't know if you follow me, if we eat healthy, but God's presence is not there, all that we do, all, if God's presence is not there, they have no meaning and no power. You understand what I'm saying? We cannot have the doctrines without having the God who gave us those doctrines. You need to have both. God will not come without the doctrines. Oh, do whatever. No. But also the doctrines cannot come without the God. And we sometimes fool ourselves for the fact that we do the right things. Well, we keep Sabbath, we go to church, we do evangelism, we do camp meeting, we pray, we pay tithe, you follow me? We believe in the right doctrines, I mean the state of the dead and the 2300. We think, because we are Seventh-day Adventists, we are okay, and we are not okay. We are not okay. The Bible, and I'm not talking about you, you may be the perfect conference. In fact, Carolina is the most attractive conference. I mean, look around to the nature. It's the most beautiful place in the country. My wife and I talked many years ago, if we ever retire somewhere, should be Carolina. I mean that. Because we love nature. I'm going to show you on the picture sometime in the morning. We have 50 beautiful acres in nature and big garden, I mean 1 acre garden. And I planted 42 orchard trees, any tree, you name it, and I have it. You want fig trees, we have fig trees. You want walnuts, we have English walnuts. You want, hazelnuts, we have hazelnuts. I mean that. Apples, several, peaches, cherries, plums, you name it, and we have it. Including mulberry, for those who know what a mulberry tree is. We have mulberries. I got them, I ordered them from Italy. We have everything. I love nature. But regardless how good the place may be, regardless how good the church may be, regardless how good the people may be, if we don't have God's presence, we have nothing. Not for nothing, Revelation chapter 3, talking about you and me. Talking about the Adventist church. Revelation 3 says that we are naked, we are blind, you remember? And the tragedy is not that we are that way. The tragedy is, and you don't know how you are. The tragedy is that we are not aware of how we are. We think we are okay. Think about the 10 virgins. Think about the 10 virgins. How many of them were sleeping? All, including the 5 good. Am I right or wrong? So how is the church right now? Sleeping. We need God's presence to revive us to the point that the church will explode. Symbolically, I don't mean physically. Okay. So, before we start the sermon today, I started something at the pastor's meeting in the morning, but I had no time. I'm going to go ahead and develop it here in detail, okay? And it's only story. I still don't go in the sermon, okay? Maybe I do want to touch those sermons. So, I was in Wisconsin 9 years. I'm not going to tell you the story in Wisconsin because we don't have time. But in Wisconsin, when I was moved there, the conference told me that they had conflicts there forever. Forever. I'm going to give you one example. There were 17 pastors. How many? 17 that moved within 2 years or less. None of them touched 2 years. That should say something. Okay? And God turned it around. I was there 9 years, and I could have stayed longer if I wanted to. Anyway, So when I moved, when we moved to Lexington, Kentucky, that church was not so bad, not so many politics, not so many fights. But in Lexington, Kentucky, wonderful people, good people, God's people, really nice people. When I moved in that church, I'm not going to use names, but I'm going to say this. My first board meeting, they told me, when I asked, what is your vision? What is your plan? They said, we don't do evangelism here. Evangelism doesn't work. And I understand why. Because it's a very affluent city, very well-to-do city. When the economy dropped in 2008, Lexington didn't. Unemployment was in Detroit about 17-something, 17.234, I don't remember. Unemployment in Lexington was 2.4. That should say something. Housing didn't drop. People kept building and buying and selling. Everything was fine. Strong. In Forbes, was among top, I don't remember, 10 cities in the nation. It was Seattle, Chattanooga, Lexington, I don't remember. Among top 10. Extremely strong economy. People very rich. Very, very well to do. And then a lot of Baptists and Methodists. Good people, but they have been saved. They don't need to be saved. You follow me? And so the board told me, we don't do evangelism. We did it. This big speaker came and they gave me a big name, well known in the Adventist world. This big speaker came. We spent $44,000. Nobody came. Then we had this speaker. And we spent so many tens of thousands, nobody came. And then we had this speaker, two people came, got baptized, and next week didn't come back. They don't even answer the phone. They never came back to church. We don't do evangelism here. It doesn't work. Now, what do you say? Fight them? Doesn't make any sense to fight. Because when you fight, regardless who loses and regardless who wins, the whole church loses. Because it brings division. And division is not from God, it's from Satan. Jesus prayed for unity, not for division. Period. So, what do you do? I want you to listen from now on, carefully. Folks, we don't have the power to do God's work. When we think that we do God's work, we fool ourselves. Even the name says God's work. It's God's work. He does His work. We don't have the power. We can kill ourselves working and we'll make no difference whatsoever. And myself, I learned this. In the mornings when I pray, and I am not talking about regular prayer. When we say the prayer in the morning, the prayer in the evening, I am not talking about that. I am talking about dedicated, serious time in prayer. I am talking about 2-3 hours of spending time with God. You follow me? It takes sacrifice, it takes discipline. In the mornings when I have time in prayer, my family is extremely blessed. My kids call and they say, we had a fantastic day, everything goes right. And in the mornings when I am too busy doing God's work and don't have time to spend time with God, it's a horrible day, nothing goes right. And I solve one problem and 10 other problems show up. And I am chasing winds. I don't know what I do. I accomplish nothing. So, folks, we don't have. My father used to tell me, to be a good pastor, you need to be a lazy pastor. That's easy. And my father used to say, the harder you work, the less you will accomplish. You need to pray a lot because this is God's work, it's not your work. And the more work you have, the more time in prayer. And the more time in prayer, the more God can bless. When He works, then when you go there, the work is done. He goes before you. He fights your enemies. By the time you get to the battle is won. The enemy is dead. And my father used to say, you need to pray. That's where the battle is done. In prayer. In prayer, that's when God can put a hedge of protection around your family. That's where God can work and bless. You need to spend time in prayer. If you want a blessing for you, if you want a blessing for your church, don't wait for somebody, for the pastor, for the elder, for the conference to do it. You, if you want to make a change, it doesn't help to talk about it. You need to pray. I don't know if you hear me. For some reason, we are afraid to pray. We are afraid that if we pray too much, God is going to change our life. And we want to change, but we don't want to change. So, when I got to Lexington, one of my elders told me, "What is your agenda?" Yeah. He says, "I know you pastors. I don't trust you." Yes, that's what he said. And I'm not going to give the story from his family. I understand why. Because in his family, he had two pastors. One of them left his family with a girl that was 20 years younger than him. Anyway, so he said, "I don't trust you guys. I don't trust pastors." He felt that his call was to keep the pastor straight, you know. Whatever I would say in a board, he would be against. Didn't really matter. Whatever, even if I said like him, he would turn around and be against. What a joy. So, what would you do? Pray. My wife and I determined 2 hours every morning from 5 to 7 to pray. And after 3 months of prayer, nothing happened. So we determined to pray after 3 months, to pray another three, altogether 6 months of prayer. But when we started the second 3 months, we added one night a week that we will pray the whole night. And one night a week, we prayed from 9 p.m. as long as we could, maybe until 2, 3, 4 a.m. And to be honest, I would fall asleep during prayer. Around 2, 3 a.m., I would just drop. Do you think God gets upset if you fall asleep praying? No. If you have a choice, your kid to spend time with you until the kid would fall asleep, or your kid not to talk to you, which one do you choose? It's no-brainer, you know? I would rather have my kid be on my lap and I tell him stories and he talks to me until he falls asleep and then I take him and put him in his bed. That's the way to go to sleep, huh? Talking to the Lord. So, I would fall asleep praying. Well, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God would not answer the prayer, not because God doesn't have the power or the will, but because if he would answer the prayer after 2-3 days, I would not be ready to do what he says. He had to prepare me, and he had to prepare the church for the plans that he has. And instead of going to the board meeting and having a prayer, and then a long 2 hours talk and accomplish nothing, I would rather pray several hours until God tells me what to do and then accomplish something. Because we plan good plans, but we plan for 200 years and nothing happens. And we keep planning and we never learn the lesson. Why would I come with a good plan if it's not God's plan? I would rather pray that God gives me his plan and then I do it. You follow me? So we prayed, my wife and I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And we were at camp meeting. We started prayer in the 1st of February, and now we are in the beginning of June at camp meeting. And it was Tuesday night. It was the whole night prayer. So I started to pray around 9 p.m. And I prayed, and sometime around 2 o'clock probably, I fell asleep. And around 2:30, I woke up. I don't know if I had a dream or what happened, but God gave me like a bunch of ideas in this little room here. And a bunch of ideas. And I learned a lesson. Whatever you remember, you'll forget. Whatever you write down, you'll remember. If God gives you a great idea and you don't write it down, tomorrow you say, "Man, I had an idea, I just don't remember it." So what I did, as soon as God woke me up, I started to write down. And now we go in details. I'm going to go deep in details. I started to write down. I wrote 4 pages. And then I said, "This is crazy. This cannot be from you. Because this is crazy. I'm not going to do that. They will not even listen to me." So I said, "This is the deal. It's 2 options. Either I ate too much last night, or you gave me the ideas. I want you to give me confirmation. I want you to do this for me. I'm going to pray until the phone rings and somebody tells me that you told me to do this." So I started to pray around 3 a.m. again. And I prayed until 7, pushing the Lord for confirmation. I will not do it. Lord, please, I beg you, give me confirmation. This is you. At 7 a.m., I said, I never miss a meal. For me, meals are holy. I can eat 10 times a day. I can eat all the time, regardless what. I never gain a pound. I just keep eating. I know it's not fair. I don't care. It's life. Deal with it. So I said, Lord, it's 7 a.m., breakfast. I go. As soon as I said amen to go to breakfast, my cell phone started to ring. It was Elder Ed Schmidt from Andrews. And he says, Pavel, you remember you called me in February and asked me to come and give a seminar in your church? I said, yeah, how could I forget? You said no. And he said, well, I was scheduled to do something in a different conference, and they overlapped graduation with my speech, so they canceled my speech. So I have one Sabbath available. I can come in this, he told me, the weekend. Do you want me to come? I said, duh. I called you. Sure, I want you to come. And then I said, what are you planning? What do you have in mind to do in my church? And he told me exactly what God told me at 2:30 a.m. And I was like, wow. And he says, are you okay? I said, listen, I've been praying for almost 6 months for God's plan. And today God woke me up at 2:30 a.m. and gave me the plan in detail, as he gave Noah the plan for the ark. And I wrote it down, and then I prayed from 3 a.m. to 7 for confirmation. And you call me, and you tell me word by word what God told me. He was like, wow, let's do it. He came, he gave the training. Before he came to give the training, I had a board meeting. I go to the saints and I say, I've been praying for almost 6 months. God woke me up at 2:30 at camp meeting. God told me what to do. I was not sure it's God, so I asked for confirmation. Ed Schmidt called me and told me exactly the same thing, so I know God's plan. And the board, okay, what is God's plan? And I said, I'm not going to tell you. And they said, Pastor, you got to. I said, nope. Pastor, please. No, if I tell you, you'll not do it. I want you to go home and pray as much as I prayed until God gives you what he gave me, and then you do it. And they said, oh, we cannot. We do pray, but, you know, you tell me that you don't want to pray a lot? Oh, yes, we do want to pray. Then go ahead and do it. And I said, today we have no board meeting. One of them, not going to tell you who or the job, who has been there many years, he says, here in Lexington, we never cancel a board meeting. I said, well, I just did. Oh, we cannot do that. If you are busy, Pastor, you can go home. We'll still have a board without you. I said, no, you go home right now. I dismissed you. If you want, call the conference. And one of them actually did. I said, you go home. I canceled the board. And by the way, we will not have a board meeting before you tell me that you prayed. Oh, we have business to do. I know you have been doing business for 100 years and never got anywhere. Go home. Oh, they are not happy. I was still in honeymoon, so they didn't kill me. They left home. I left home. And then I called them because you need to follow up. I called each one of them and asked them, did you pray? Please pray. I'm going to tell the church if you pray or not. So I told the church next Sabbath, I said, I talked to the board. I didn't say they don't pray. I said, they promise they will pray. I want you to pray, and I let you know how it goes. And then I called the board members, each one. I said, I want you to pray. Please keep praying for God's plan. Next board meeting, next month, I told them, if you don't pray, I'm going to cancel the next board. You better move me and get a different pastor because I'm not joking. And they got it. They got it. I was serious about it. So next board meeting, I asked, how many of you prayed? Confession time. Hands up. Who didn't? Keep your head down and your hands down. They all prayed, or at least that's what they said. And I said, what did God tell you? 2 out of 17. shared the same thing. 2 out of 17 said, this is crazy, but this is what God told us to do. I said, okay, great. That's what God told me. And then I shared with everybody and we started to implement it. Before I tell you what we do, I'm going to tell you this. The conference told me that for the last 70 years, they had an average of 2 baptisms a year. And that mostly was their children. 70 years, 2 a year. First year we had 9. Following year we had 16. Following year we had 23. Following year we had 32. Last year, between September and last Sabbath, we already have 47. That's not a small number, folks. The church had an attendance of 120 a Sabbath. Right now, we have 300, but we have 300 seats, so there is no room because people leave a seat empty here and there. And so people have to come early to get a seat and to get parking. If you come 11 o'clock, you don't have parking. They drive around and around and around, and then they park on the grass far away and they walk. There is no parking. We just voted to start a second service and plant a church because we have no more room. Isn't that a good problem? So what we did, we started to do in-home Bible studies based on the thought that people don't want to go to a church. People don't want to go to my church. But people feel comfortable at home. In their privacy, they feel good. Number one. Number two, people watch TV. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. They just don't have the power to turn it off. So we do TV Bible studies. So what we do, we have Bible studies, we have the guide, and we have the DVD. We send invitations. In Lexington, there are 10 zip codes. And we do 1 zip code a year. It's a 10-year plan that in 10 years, we will evangelize the whole area. We sent invitations to 1 zip code, and that was 12,000 households. They told me, Pastor, this is crazy. We do it because God inspired us. Nobody will answer. You know how many people answered to 1 zip code? 276 people asked for in-home Bible studies. In a rich city, 276 people. We were like, wow, who is going to do it? Edgemead came, trained the church, and this was the nicest part. The rule was that you don't speak. If you speak, you are disqualified. You cannot do it again. That's easy if you don't have to speak. Because this is the key. People don't like to do what I say. They do what they want. I cannot tell you what to do. And you cannot tell me what to do. I do what I want. Am I right? That's how we are. I mean, we can talk, but leave me alone. You know, kind of. So, we sent invitations. 276 people answered. And then we trained the church. This is what you do. First meeting, you go knocking the door. When they open the door, it's crazy. They don't even open. They crack it a little and look like that. They are so suspicious, so afraid. Who are you knocking in my door? When they open the door, you stay away from them. They may have leprosy or whatever. Stay away and you show them their handwriting card. You ask for a Bible study. This is it. God bless you. And you go. Is that difficult? You are the mailman. Mailman is not going to try to convince you to pay your bills. He could not care less if you pay them or not. He just delivers the mail. You deliver the Bible study and you go. You know, people relaxed. They don't push me to be baptized or go to their church or whatever. Okay, bye. A few of them asked, why didn't you mail it? And our answer was very simple. It's so much junk mail, we don't want you to trash it. We want to make sure that you get what you asked. Bye. Oh, tell me about your church. Tell me. Sorry. Bye. Don't talk. I have to deliver another 50. Sorry, I don't have time. Bye. Be rude. That's easy for Adventists. Just go. Don't talk. Second week when you go, What is the goal? Listen carefully to what I say. The goal is not to teach them doctrines. The goal is to build relationships. Keep in mind what I said. That works. Second week, when you go, they are not afraid of you. First week, they don't open the door. Second week, oh, good evening, how are you doing? How are you doing? Good to see you again. This is number two. I hope you don't say, did you enjoy it? Don't give them a chance to say no, because then they will not continue. Don't ask questions. You say, I hope you enjoyed it. God bless you. Bye. What did I do? First week, did I talk? Second week, what did I do? A little interaction. How are you doing? How is your family? I hope you enjoyed it. God bless you. Bye. I didn't enter, but I started to build some relationship, friendship. Third week when I go, now watch it. We have a powerful prayer group. We'd like to pray for you. What should we pray for? If they ask for a Bible study, they do believe in prayer. And they will not refuse prayer. So they told us, pray for my wife. I'm in divorce. Pray for my kids. They take drugs. Pray for my son. He has cancer. Pray for my... Whatever, they gave us prayer requests. Did I talk to them doctrines? No. I said, we will pray for you. And we did pray for them. We didn't just say. We do it. Okay? That was third week. Fourth, fifth, and sixth are crucial. If you enter their home, you got those people. If you don't enter their home, you can quit. You'll never get them. They did a survey in Andrews. From those that we enter their homes, 78% got baptized. From those that we didn't enter their home, 0%, not one, got baptized. Did you hear what I said? How much percent of those we enter the home? Is that a small number? Oh, that's amazing. That's really good statistics. So, fourth week, we knock in the door and we say, listen, I have a little time today. Can I study with you? And some of them said yes, and some of them said no. Those who said no, some of them don't care, but some of them, the house is dirty. It's messy. So what we say, I said, you know what? Don't worry if the house is messy. If you see my office, you think it's Hiroshima. It's like a bomb dropped in my office. I didn't come to inspect. I just want to study with you. Don't worry about mess. And say, okay, come in. Some of them, no. Then I say, would you want to come over? My wife prepared some amazing Romanian food. We have unhealthy ice cream and soda. Come over. Americans worship food. I hate to say it, but if you don't like it, don't call me back. I don't care. The point is, very rare they would refuse food if you know how to present it. My wife prepared amazing Romanian food. It's just, oh, when you eat stuffed cabbage rolls, and I just make them water it a little, you know. And then I say, would you come over? Tuesday. Okay. You need to enter their home or them to enter your home. Because inside the house, you can build friendship. And the goal is relationship. So you don't give up before either you go in or they come over. If you don't manage that, you can give it up. You'll never get them. So for those that we enter the home, what we did next? They say, sit down and teach. Tell me. Did we teach? No. What we said, our members were trained specifically to say, I am not a pastor. And they didn't lie, because they were not. I am the pastor. I'm not a pastor. I'm not trained. I don't know what to teach you. You have the DVD. Insert it in and let's watch it together. Because if you tell them about Sabbath, they can and they will argue with you. But if the TV tells them about Sabbath, I've never seen anybody arguing with the TV. People just don't argue with the TV. They like it or not, they cannot turn it off. They keep watching. That's amazing. So you say, I'm not here to teach you. I'm here to just watch. Insert it in, let's watch it together. You watch it together, and then you say, let's pray. You pray for them. You don't pray that they'll repent. That's arrogant. You pray for their family. You pray, you follow me? And then you say goodbye and go. Is that difficult? Anybody can do it. The rule is that you don't teach. You just build relationships. Folks, after the sixth Bible study, we started stage number two. Stage number one, we go to their homes and manage to enter the house. Stage number two, two things. One, we attack the city. Two, we start seminars. One, we attack the city. What we did? We went to the city hall because nobody knew the Adventist church. If you would ask them what is the Adventist, they would think it's a restaurant or something. So we went to the city. We talked to the mayor and we said, what do you need in the city? What do you mean? We want to help. We want to make a difference. Give us work. We didn't preach the gospel. We just went there to do what Jesus did. I was poor, you gave me food, I was in prison, you visited me, I was naked, you remember? So the mayor said, well, if you really want to help, the park behind the Fayette Mall is dirty. Would you clean the park? Absolutely, we'll clean it. We got the whole church, young and old. Next Sunday, we went behind the Fayette Mall and we cleaned the park. The youth told me that they never had so much fun in that church. I was like, really? Picking the garbage? Really, I mean it. They said, Pastor, when can we do it again? You know why? Because they were together picking and telling stories and laughing. And they like to be together. We got behind the mall. We had like 30, 40 people that came. We picked up the garbage, put it in trash bags, and then we took pictures. And I called the mayor. I said, you told me to call you when we are done. We are done. Okay, I'll send the truck to pick it up. We took pictures, and that's it. Well, well, well. We went back to the mayor. What is next? Oh, you want to keep helping? Yes. Okay. Well, we have some people that they are messy and the house looks bad and we find them. Would you go and fix their homes? We got teams. We went every Sunday for about 2 months painting and cleaning and mowing homes that were bad looking. It takes commitment. Then we divided the church in teams of two and we went to all the fire departments and all the police stations. There are 25 fire departments and about 20 police stations, whatever, in Lexington. We went to all of them and gave them cookies and soda. I know it's not healthy, but you know what? They love it. We gave them from Costco sealed cookies so they will not think that we try to poison or kill them or anything. Sealed bags of cookies and soda and a card, thank you card. Folks, we appreciate your sacrifice. We want to show our appreciation and we want to have a prayer for you, for safety and for your families. And we went to the police stations, dropped the cookies, the soda, the card, said the prayer and left. You know what? Eventually the newspapers picked it up. And they came and put it on the front page. The Adventist Church is praying for our police stations. The Adventist Church is praying for our firefighters. The Adventist Church is cleaning the park. The city started to learn about us, finally. Adventists are not a restaurant, they are a church. Okay, then we did more than that. I mean, literally, we started to make a difference in the town. Saturday night, we went downtown with food. We fed around 70 homeless people. Newspaper came again. News station, the TV, local TV cable, they came too. So stage two, we attacked the city. And number two, we started seminars. We started seminars in the church. And what we did, when we went for Bible studies, we asked them after about the fourth study, what would you need if we gave a seminar? Do you want a family? Do you want a non-smoking? Do you want a whatever seminar? And then we scheduled one seminar a month, even two sometimes, not on Sabbath. Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, not on Sabbath. And to the seminar, we invited some of our members But we didn't invite the whole church. In fact, if you invite the whole church, they don't come. We told them, you are not allowed to come. Because if you tell them don't come, they want to come. Oh, can I come too? Nah, okay. We told them, we don't need you. We don't want you to come. Only 10 people. And we'll handpick the 10. You know, they came. And we invited some of the church members and had first Thursday when we started the seminars. We had a healthy cooking class. And we brought samples of food. And we told our Bible study interests, we'll have a cooking class with samples, healthy cooking. And we'll taste good food and give you recipes. You know what? They came Thursday. We didn't ask them to come Saturday. We didn't ask them to get baptized. We simply invited them to a cooking class. They came. What was the goal? Relationship. I put them together with 10, 20 of our members. So they don't know only you or only you who give them a Bible study. Now they know 20 people in the church. You follow me? 2 weeks later, we had the health class, diabetes. Excuse me. Invited them. A month later, we had the parenting class. A month later, we had the family class, how to avoid divorce. 2 weeks later, we had the stewardship class, how to get rid of debt. Elder Reed would have been the best there, not me. In fact, I didn't teach them. I have to teach myself that, but anyway. And then we kept giving them seminar after seminar. You know what it did? It built friendship. That was second stage. Third stage, after 6 months of Bible studies, we had finally evangelism. It is mindless to do evangelism without preparing the ground. It's like you go in the garden to harvest without planting. It's like you want to deliver without being pregnant. It just doesn't work. We want people to come to evangelism and they have never knew anything about this. And then we want them in 1 month to change a life. We don't change in 1 month, folks. I don't change. When my wife would change my tools from here to here, I go crazy. Don't touch my stuff. Leave it there. We don't like change. So, 6 months, they had time to go through the studies. They had time not to hear from me, but to read it and to watch it on the TV. They had time to think. They had time to fight. They had time to argue. They had time to pray. They had time to make decisions. The Holy Spirit had time to work in their hearts. 6 months. They don't hear it now. Now when they come to evangelism, they hear it second time. And you know, the more you hear, the more it goes in. They hear it second time. By now, they had time to deal with Sabbath, state of the dead. They had time to deal with it. Right now, we put them together with the whole church and we had decisions and they didn't leave. All of them are in the church, retaining, 100% retaining. They don't leave. We had evangelism. After evangelism, man, it's dirty. Okay. After evangelism, we didn't finish. You don't deliver a baby, have a celebration. Oh, we have a baby. He was 8 pounds, you know, whatever. And then you say, God bless you, and leave the baby alone. The baby needs nurturing, you know? After you have baptism, we started the third stage. Third stage. We had people during evangelism delegated specifically to sit there and there and there. And we said, you don't move. That's your seat. We put your name on it. You own it. You don't move from there. Every other row, first, third, fifth, seventh, every other row, in the beginning of the row, we had row hosts. Those people sat there always. And the duty was to learn people, Adventists, non-Adventists, doesn't matter, who are on those rows, because people sit every night in the same spot, believe it or not. And they learned the names, learned the family, learned everything. They knew everything about those two rows. Every night when people would come, how are you doing? How is Mary? How are your children? Ta, 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 ta. Can I pray for you? They had one responsibility. You know these two rows. You follow me? You give them materials, you pray for them, you say welcome, you hug them, you kill them, you do whatever it takes. These two rows are your family. After we baptized them, those became the mentors. They already had a relationship. Those people had a 3 months job description. Once a week, they visit those new baptized people. First visit, pray for them. Second visit, eat with them. Third visit, invite them over. They eat at your place. Fourth visit, give them some of our books. Fifth visit, give them the jobs in the church from the nominating committee. These are the deacons and this is the head deacon. These are the evangelism people and this is the responsible. These are, you follow me? What do you think you can do? And have them pray about it and be involved. Get them involved so they belong. And tell them, in our church, nobody is lazy. We disfellowship people not when they do a mistake. When they are lazy, they can go out. So you need to preach the gospel. You need to be involved. What do you choose? Let them choose. Tell them that this is what it's all about. Saving the lost. That's what Jesus came for. That's what the reason we are here. Saving the lost. What do you want to do? So eventually the mentors, visiting people and talking to them, build friendship. And those people, as soon as they face challenges, they have friends and support in the church so they don't leave. You follow me? And they get involved. 100% retention. Secondly, they are all active. And then in the third stage, we also started seminars like Wednesday night we have a Daniel class, Friday night we have a prayer class, Saturday morning we have the pastor's class with doctrines. You follow me? So you, after evangelism, you don't just stop. You continue something. You follow me? So we did that. And then we started to pray more. Let me give you an example. Oh, by the way. People that left church 20, 40 years ago, and we don't have one or two. We have several. I mean, I could give you specific names. Several. They heard something is happening in the church and they started to come back. Ernie, Nick, Delisa. I could give you several names. People that came back to church. Oh, something is happening in the Lexington church. And as soon as they came, can we give a Bible study? Before, I was asking them, would you please give a Bible study? Nah. Right now, they beg me, can you give me some work? I want to be part of it. And I said, I don't know. I don't have more work. I don't know what to give you. Now I have to spend time organizing. I should give them the paycheck because they do the work, not me. I just organize. I pray and organize. So they all want to work because when things go good, everybody wants to be part of it. So, for instance, there was a lady, probably you heard me telling the story. This is a funny yet moving story. There is a lady, she left church about 20 years before. She heard something is happening in the church. She came. She was like, I don't know colors so well, but it was like blue, greenish hair, crazy. Rings all over here, who knows where. I mean, rings all over. Dark clothing, big chains. It's like, oh my, you know, stay away. And she came late and she left early. You know why they do that? They don't want you to talk with them. She came late. As soon as I said, amen, finish my sermon, she didn't wait for the song or anything. She left. Well, I have a habit. I talk to visitors. I don't let one go, you know. And we have an average of 40, 50 visitors a Sabbath. So I kind of have hard time to talk to everybody, but I delegate it. We have an average of 50 people, and each one picks a visitor, and we never let somebody go. And so I see her leaving, and I watch, and no saint goes after her because saints have to sing the song. They are all singing the song. So I left from the pulpit, and zoom, run after her. Saints thought that I cannot hold it anymore. I go to the bathroom. Ah, I didn't go to the bathroom. I go after her. And she sees me and she goes to the car and I keep running after her and she opens the door and I close the door of her car. Hold on a second. Where do you hurry so much? Oh, I want to go home. You'll go after we talk. I don't want to talk. Okay, then I do the talk. Just hold on a second. And she says, I don't need advice. Who told you that I want to give you advice? I have no interest to give you advice. Then what do you want to talk? Just tell me your name. And she did. I'm not going to tell you her name. And she told me her name. I said, good, I am Pavel. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you too. Tell me, why did you come? I don't know. Don't tell me that you don't know why you came. Why did you come? I don't believe in God. Really? What are you doing here? This is a church. If you don't believe in God, God doesn't care for my life. I said, why would you say that? Well, I cannot tell you. Well, tell me something. Well, I've been praying for 20 years that God gives me victory over a sin, and God never did. And eventually she told me it was drugs. I've been praying for 20 years for victory. I said, well, God doesn't like Americans, you know. What time is it? 8:48. What time do we finish? 9. We do have 10 minutes. Okay. I said, God doesn't like Americans. You guy, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes. Come on. Look here. This is what God loves. And she was like, what? So I said, what do you think? Does God love people? Oh, he loves everybody. I said, okay. Then why do you tell me that he doesn't, I got her, that he doesn't answer your prayer? Oh, because he doesn't answer. So you tell me that he likes everybody, but he doesn't answer your prayer. That doesn't make any sense. Either he likes everybody or he doesn't. Well, I've been praying for 20 years and he never answered. So I looked her in the eyes and I said, do you want to give up drugs? Sure I do. I said, okay, today you'll get victory. She said, who do you think you are to tell me that? I've been trying for 20 years. I went to rehab. I was in jail. I prayed. I cried. Never gave them up. Who do you think you are? I said, lady, do you want to give them up or not? And I was dead serious. Yes! Today you'll get victory. What are you talking about? I want you to give a Bible study. She's like, they are not connected. I said, yes, they are. When you pray that God gives you victory over a sin, all you do, you spend time talking about sin. That's what we do. We fix our eyes on the problem, and we talk about problems, and we fix our eyes on the sin, and we talk about sin. What I learned is different. When you want victory, you don't talk about problems. After you confess, you fix your eyes on Jesus. And you stop talking about sin. And you say like Paul, I forget what is behind and run for the goal that is ahead. And I put my eyes on the captain of my salvation and keep my eyes on him. And I say, lady, you talk too much about drugs. You need to talk about Jesus. And I said, this is what you do. The more you fight sin, the deeper you go into sin. I want you to stop worrying about you. You and me are not worthy. Jesus gave up self to save you. I want you to give up self and save somebody, because when you work with somebody and tell them about Jesus, then is when you grow. God doesn't need you and God doesn't need me. He called you and me because he wants to save you and me. And that's the way to be saved. Doing what Jesus did. But I am not worthy. Who is worthy? Do you think that I am worthy? Nobody is worthy. Then God would have to do it himself. That's the reason God called you. And I told her, God called 2 demoniacs and sent them back to Gadara and told them to preach the word. If God used 2 demoniacs, he can use you. God used a donkey to talk. If he used a donkey, he can use you. And she says, but I don't know what to say. I said, good, now we talk business. You don't need to say anything. The rule is that you are rude. You go there, knock in the door, give them the study and go. Well, I can do that. Good. I gave her 2 Bible studies. This is the address and this is the rule. And I taught her what to do. First time. I said, second time, we talk again. I tell you what to do. And she says, and if I do that, I get victory over drugs? Yes, you do. And she says, are you sure? I said, not based on me, but based on my Bible. Yes, I am sure. I've seen it again and again. People fight and fight and never overcome. And as soon as they get busy working and saving, for some reason they overcome. And I said, don't ask me to explain it because I am not able. I just tell you what I see. She said, okay, I'll do a Bible study. But if it doesn't happen, I will never come to church. I will never pray. I will never talk to you. I said, deal. Go ahead, do a Bible study. She left. She called me around 2 o'clock, cursing. I don't want to hear about you, your church, or your God ever again. I said, just calm down. Tell me what happened. And she says, well, I went, and it's an apartment building, and the door is locked, and you have to ring the bell, and somebody has to open the door from inside, and nobody's home, so nobody opened the door, so I could not give a Bible study. God doesn't even consider me worth to give a Bible study. I don't want to hear about God again. I said, that's it? That's nothing. Go in the car and pray that God would open the door. Simple. Oh, I didn't think about that. She went in the car, and then she called me 2 minutes later. I prayed, the door didn't open. I said, when did you even have time to open the door and pray? It's only 2 minutes. There's no prayer, that's poetry. La, 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 amen. Go and pray. Well, okay, you say that that was not good enough. How long should I pray? I said, until the door opens. I said, but kind of, how long? Until the door opens. I said, okay, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour. I said, lady, you don't know English. Until the door opens. And she said, okay, but how long? I said, you pray until the door opens. If the door doesn't, you keep praying. And if the door doesn't, you don't go home tonight. You sleep in the car praying. And if the door doesn't, you don't go to work tomorrow. You stay in the car and pray until you die or you get retired. You keep praying. And she says, well, I cannot do that. I have a job. I have a family. I said, do you really want to give up drugs or not? She says, yes, I do. Then you pray until the door opens. And this is my commitment to you. I never miss a meal. That's holy. Meals are sacred for me. I'm not going to eat. And I'm not going to go home. I'll stay in my office and pray as long as you pray. Until the door opens. And if the door doesn't open and you pray 3 days, I'm going to stay in my office and pray 3 days. So you are not alone. He said, okay. She went back in the car. She called me at 4:30, 15 to 5, before 5 o'clock. She called me. And she was crazy. Pastor, you will not believe what happened. Pastor, this is amazing. Pastor, I said, just calm down and tell me what happened. Well, I prayed and prayed and prayed and God didn't open the door. I got angry, stopped praying and started to argue with God. I said, well, now you started to pray finally. And she says, what do you mean? I said, sister, prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Is not a formula that you repeat the same words every day. Prayer is when you are honest. You open your heart and tell God your feelings and what you think and what you struggle with. And you are not afraid that you'll get upset. He is able to handle your feelings. I would rather be honest than to be fake with God. Oh, you know, I'm so happy. Now, if you're not happy, tell him that you are not happy. Prayer is the opening of the heart. You remember? Steps to Christ. Okay. So, I said, now you are finally praying. And she says, well, okay, okay. I kept my eyes open and I was arguing, why don't you let me give a Bible study? I want to give up drugs. Why don't you let me? And when I was arguing, the door opened. Somebody was going to the trash container to drop the trash. And she said, I stopped. I said, Lord, sorry. And I run. And she says, can I go in? And he says, why? I'm supposed to give a Bible study to apartment number so-and-so, and they are not home. Can I go in? And the guy says, no. If they are not home, I'm not supposed to let you in. But I am upset with you. And she says, with me? You don't even know me. How could you be upset with me? And the guy says, I asked for a Bible study, and nobody came. I said, oh, no problem. I can give you study number one. And then go back, pick up another study, and come tomorrow and give them a study too. And the guy says, okay, come in. And she says, no, I'm not supposed to come in. I just deliver like the mailman and go. He says, no, come in. And she says, no, I cannot. Hey, lady, you came to give me a Bible study to help me. I need help. Come in. And she says, pastor, he took me by hand. And for some reason, I went in. And she said, he was big. Schwarzenegger, you know. He was big. And I am small. And he said, sit down. And I sat down. And he left. I said, what? He left the apartment. I was alone. And he came about 5 minutes later, 11 other guys. Big leather jackets, skeleton head on the back, ponytail all motorcycle guys. And I started to pray for protection. And he said to them, folks, we have been praying that we give up drugs. I pray that God would send an angel to help us give up drugs. God sent an angel. Sit down and listen to her. And she said, I told them, I'm no angel. I'm not able to teach you. In fact, I'm in drugs. And the pastor told me that if I give a Bible study, God would give me victory. So I guess you need to give a Bible study to get me. And she said, I am not able to teach you. I need to be taught. But you have the DVD? You have the guide? Do you have a video DVD player? Yes, we do. And she said, they put it in. We all watched it. At the end, all those big guys were crying. And they said, would you come again next week? And she said, Pastor, I do drugs every 2 hours. Since 10 a.m. in the morning. She said, every 2 hours, if I don't do, I start shaking. Since 10 a.m. and it's 5 p.m., I didn't do drugs and I have no need. I don't feel that I need drugs. And she says, this is first time in 20 years. And I said, praise the Lord. I said, you make sure that you give a Bible study tomorrow too. Folks, next Sabbath, I had her come in front of the church. She says, I'm not going to talk. I said, I do the talk. You just come there. And then I ask questions. So tell me, do you want to give a Bible study? Did you want? No. Did you do one? Yes. Was it difficult? No. What was the story? Well, there are many big guys. I said, okay. So we shared with the church. And then I said, how many of you now want to give a Bible study? 56 more registered. I didn't have so many Bible studies because I already gave each one to deliver 6, 7, 8, 10, you know. Folks, and he started to go on, and Bible studies, and reaching the city, and seminars, and evangelism, and radio. We pray, that's a whole story, powerful story. We have a radio station 24/7 right now. Our tower, our station. And it's on, and baptisms, and people working. In a church of 300 attendants, we have over 250 people working. That should say something. It's exploding when people pray. We cannot do the work. We are not able to do God's work. It takes God's power. And the more we struggle, the less we accomplish and get discouraged, and then people don't want to do it again. Therefore, we need a lot of prayer so God would go ahead of us and God would plan and God would give us victory and God would give us power. We need God's presence. There is no help to do church if you don't have God's power. God without power is no God. Jesus tells them, wait and pray until you receive the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power. Then go and preach. We do the work without following the normal way. Pray until you receive the Spirit. Then you go and work. Because we cannot do it alone. We will never finish unless we do it properly. Okay, I'm done. I need to go to the next seminar. Do not wait for the board, for the pastor, do not judge them. If you are in their shoes, you know that it's not easy. God called you to pray, get busy praying. If God can use a donkey, God can certainly use anybody. It's not about what you can do, it's about what He can do. He can get victory with one, or with 1,000, or with 1,000,000, because it's not about what we do, it's about what He does. Get busy praying. If the whole church, if the whole conference would pray, can you imagine what God would do? We would be home. We would not be here. Okay, God bless you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we repent that while we do know that we should pray, we pray so little. Please help us make a decision today, not tomorrow, to start praying. Not look for miracles, not look for powerful things, but look for You. Start praying and trust that You, in your wisdom, in your love, in your power, you will make a difference, things that we cannot do. So, Father, we pray that we all, in your power, in your help, start a new life, a life of relationship with you. We pray in Jesus' name and thank you. Amen. God bless you.